Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Amen. Confession brings possessions. What you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. Revelation 12, verse 7. Let's speak it. A war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And a dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now, I want to share two things about this because it has multiple meanings. Heaven is known as the unseen realm. So we see here, first of all, Lucifer was removed from the throne room of God because he was exalting himself. He was God's right-hand man. He's a praise and worship leader of the universe. He knows how to outwit any human instantly. He was there when all things were created. He saw the earth created. He walked amongst the stones and the fiery darts. He was the first angel created. He saw it all of this time and space of this universe and what God was doing. It says he has great wisdom. Great wisdom. So he knows how to do all kinds of things. He knows technology. And it says here that, so him and his angels were removed. They were removed from the throne room of God first. And then they were sentenced to the earth and the realm. But they will eventually come out of the unseen realm into the seen realm. And people will freak when they see them. They'll think they're being invaded by aliens. To most of them, it will be aliens because they have technology. They're called UFOs, things to that degree. And when that occurs, God willing, we won't be here. But if we are here, hallelujah, we just pull out Holy Ghost bazookas and start blasting them. Amen? Verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, who what? Deceives the whole world. He deceives part of the world. A little bit. Just a few people. The whole world. He deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Now, again, he deceives the whole world. Satan's kingdom controls and rules by deception. It's amazing and how many people still don't get that. They still don't get it. They go walk around in deception. Even people walk around glorifying God are walking in deception. Again, we know that his greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. This deception is greater than any nuclear blast. It's the most powerful thing besides God's presence is deception. Deception kills, destroys all kinds of things. And there's a place I'm going to go to tonight. It's called the Deception Factor. You know, to keep something, to keep a person in deception, you must stay unseen. What's keeping a person in deception is the purpose is to keep it unseen. Once the person acknowledges it, it becomes seen. Now we have the choice to stay in the deception or not. It's no longer the area that we don't have a choice. Now we have a choice. But see, the enemy knows how to grab, and because one of the things he manipulates in deception is emotion. So even though you know something ain't right, ain't God, whatever, but he's still deceiving the emotion. That's why people have a hard time in the area of cutting loose or cutting free from deception, because the emotion is still entangling them and tying them up. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live what? Godly in Christ Jesus will suffer what? Persecution. Now, there are those who are in deception that say persecution. Oh, you're persecuting because the word says the righteous will be persecuted. But many people bring their own persecution on because of not doing it according to the will of God. So you're going to bring your own persecution on. But if you're doing it according to the will of God and you're walking according to obedience and submission to the will of God, that persecution, it will be glorifying. It's different. But then there's a self-imposed persecution because of the things that people reject. Counsel, correction, direction, the will of God. So that persecution will come on, but it will come on because of guilt, condemnation. It comes on. And in this, it says something very powerful. Look at this. In verse 13, it says, but evil men will what? And imposters will grow what? Worse. They will what? Grow worse and worse, deceiving and what? Being deceived. So look at deception is going to increase. It's getting greater than it ever has. Many people are going to get so caught up in deception because one of the things deception does is bring you to you. That they're going to miss God. They're going to get so caught up. They're going to even miss the rapture because they're too busy building themselves. Self doesn't enter the kingdom. All right. Verse 14, it says, but you must what? Continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for the salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, much is given, much is required. We've been given much. That means there's much required. You're not just going to some Bible study in a church. This is a training session. We train up individuals with truth. And it's difficult because the truth that God gives us in revelation, because we live on revelation. So it makes it difficult. Why? Well, number one is the enemy hates you more because he fears you more. He hates you more because he fears you more. It doesn't make us any better than anyone else. What it does is that it puts us, because we have our special task force, just in like a military operation. You have in the Navy, you have Marines, you have whatever. Even in the Navy, there's aircraft, there's captains, there's the fire department, there's the rescue, there's search and rescue, there's the SEALs. And each one has a specific department that it has to be trained up for. We're being trained up. We're a specific department. And this is what God has raised us for. That's why we're all here, to be prepared to go to war. We are soldiers. Hallelujah. So things are, there'll be more imposters. Things will be getting worse. There'll be more deception. And there'll be more and more of those deceived. What does it say? Many will fall from the faith, right? In the latter days. Taking what? Heed to what? Deceiving spirits. So these deceiving spirits are going to increase in a tremendous way. They are here. They're increasing. They're enticing. What is the purpose for deception? To entice someone to sin. To walk in rebellion. That's sin. Does everybody get that? In 2 Corinthians 11. So you think we might need to come against deceiving spirits? Amen. If you haven't bound one, you have one. Hello. I'm going to say that again. If you haven't bound one, you have one. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 1. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, for indeed you do bear with me. For I am zealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you. What is that word? Betrothed, right? Betrothed. I guess we don't take people to the horse. I mean, okay. I betrothed you. Betrothed? Well, make your mind up, man. Listen, I have begotten you to one husband. That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Hello. For I fear, verse 3, lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his what? Craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Wow. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you received a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you better cast it out. It says that you must, that you may what? Well, put up with it. In other words, you're going to put up with the people, but you make sure you cleanse yourself from the spirit. Does everybody get it? You put up with the people, but you cleanse yourself from the spirit. We get many people that used to knock on our doors, but they don't anymore because they know who we are. I'll chase them down the street. And put the truth in their hand. Hallelujah. So the serpent deceived Eve by what? Craftiness. craftiness. Amen? I don't forget the, I don't know who they were. I think they were Jehovah Witnesses or whatever. They came knocking on our door. I had the teaching all ready for them. This is his name, Holmes. They. I said, well, let's pray, man. The only thing I saw was the bottom of their feet. So wait a minute. Chase them down the street, put the word in their hand. See, they thought they came to give me something. Hallelujah. They did. They gave me a reality how deceived people are. Hallelujah. So understand, this deception is craftiness. He knows the powers of darkness have been around. Lucifer has been around. The fallen angels have been around before the earth was created. They know exactly how to manipulate. They have technology. Hey, look, they saw humans created. They know the movements. In fact, the demons have walked through us multiple times. And at first, they lived in us, so they knew exactly how we operate. They know exactly what our weaknesses are. Amen? They know. Listen, the devil doesn't attack you in your strength. He attacks you in your weakness. And when you begin to focus in your weakness, then he attacks you in the strength. He's no stoopy. He's an idiot. The most deceived there is, because he's the master of deception. So when you're the master of deception, you're the most deceived. James 1. Verse 2, it says, my brethren, what? Count it all joy when, not if, when you fall into various trials. Okay. Reality. We really don't count it all joy, do we? Oh, yes, I got hit by a car. You're not going to be laughing when you get hit by a car. Amen? So in that, the reality what comes to us is that we know all things are going to work to the good. That gives me joy. I know that the Lord is my deliverer, my healer. And many are the afflictions of the righteous. He delivers them out of all their troubles. That's what brings us the joy. But see, people aren't joyful when they're in afflictions and stuff. Why? Because they don't know the word. They don't know the promises. They don't know the covenant. See, we are covenant people. And by being covenant people, he's got to keep his promise. In fact, we're joint heirs. Slam. My brethren, count on all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience, which is endurance. What's that for? So you get stronger. So that when the challenges come again, when the deception comes, you're going to bust it. You're not going to take heed to it. You know, I know you. You've been here before. The problem is many people will greet it when it comes again. Oh, hi, how you doing? I haven't seen you. Oh, deception again. They don't get rid of it. They greet it. Hello, hi. They treat it. They welcome it in. They even feed it. And they're the food. You're the food. Amen. Verse 4. But let patience or endurance have its what? Perfect work that you may be what? That you may be what? Perfect in what? Complete, lacking what? Nothing. Does everybody get that? Listen, you are lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, here's the answer. He said, what are you lacking then? You're lacking wisdom. Let him ask of God who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? Faith. Faith. With no what? Doubting. Let me tell you one of the things that deception leads to. Doubt. Deception is a promoter of doubt. Now, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Doubt. That's what doubt does. Now, so we see that deception leads to doubt. Doubt rejects, comes against the promises of God. It comes against the promises of God. So many people will accept anything and not wait on God. It's like going out and buying a car because you need it, but you're not waiting on God for the right car. So you put all your money in this car, and it costs you money to maintain it because it doesn't have it ain't warranted by God. Because when it's warranted by God, it breaks down. He sends you another one. When it's not under his warranty, you got to maintain it. Anything that's not from him, you maintain. There are marriages that you got to maintain because it ain't from him. Hallelujah. Okay. So we see here that deception leads to doubt. Doubt rebels against the truth of God, the promises of God. And what it is doubt will also cut off faith. So one of the things about doubt, when doubt comes because it's rejecting God's promises, what it begins to do is its fruit will start to come forth in the area. It begins to establish a flawed belief system. Doubt is a flawed belief system. Why? Because where there's doubt, there's got to be a belief in something else. Does everybody get that? When there's doubt, that means that there's a belief in something. If you're doubting God, then you're believing something else. If you're doubting the promises of God, you're believing something else. If you're doubting his faithfulness, you're believing something else. If you're doubting his healing, you're believing in something else. Does everybody get it? You're believing in something else, and anything else is called a flawed belief system. And of course, where there's a flawed belief system, there's a flawed what? Perception. Your perception of things is flawed. That's why a lot of people think worse first, and they stay there. Hallelujah. So, then doubt must lead to something else. You're going to find a bunch of D's here. Deception leads to doubt. Doubt leads to delusion. Why? Because it's a flawed belief system, which promotes flawed perception. Doubt will lead to a delusion. Why? Because it gives you a wrong vision. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 9. Now, the word says something that if anything is not of faith, it is sin. Does everybody get that? If it's not of faith, it's what? Sin. And what's faith? Spiritual vision, isn't it? Because you see God's hand. You see the things of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's speak it together. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, sounds, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be what? Saved. For this reason, God will send them what? Strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. Let me tell you something. When you don't believe the truth, you believe unrighteousness. Where there's doubt, the belief system is flawed because you're believing in something else. So people believe in the world more than they do the promises of God. Is everybody okay? In Romans 16. So we can say then that delusion is not a correct vision, is it? It's called delusion. It means a person is seeing incorrectly. The deception factor. It's the D series. Now, why are we getting this? Because God is righteous and holy. And anything that's not of that will burn. You know, we have a saying here, learn or burn. I'm telling you, things are shaking. Shaking. He is going to shake until it cannot be shaken anymore. And he's coming for the ones that can't be shaken. Because they are the faithful ones. Romans 16, 17, let's read it. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause what? Oh, wait a minute now, because now we've gone from what? Deception to doubt to delusion. Well, then why would there be division? Because they what? They're in delusion. They don't see correctly. So what do they cause? Division. They're the first ones who criticize, and the last ones to volunteer. They don't run at a throne, they run to Facebook. I got something to say. That's too bad. Who wants to hear it? Romans 16, 17. Now I urge you, brother, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the what? Doctrine which you have what? Learned and do what? Avoid them. For those are such who do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their what? Own belly, by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Again, deception will lead to doubt. Doubt leads to delusion. When people are in that state, they cause division. You know why? They're fighting for something that they believe which is incorrect. Most of the time, they're fighting for themselves. Hebrews 12. You know, one of the things the enemy likes to do is get us into a place of compromise, complacency. If he can get you in a place of compromise and complacency according to the righteousness of Christ, he can get you into another place. He doesn't do it overnight. He slowly does it. He moves slow, bit by bit. Next thing you know, you find yourself in a place of, oh my God, how did I get here? How did I get entangled in this? How did I get emotionally attached to this? How did I buy this? How did I do this? Verse 3, Hebrews 12. Would you read it with me? For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary in what? Discouraged where? In your souls. Let me share with you. One of the things that begin to happen in the arena of division, when there's division, and that person begins to cause division, you know what happens? They get discouraged. Does everybody understand that? Discouragement. Or a person that's involved in the division begins to wonder and question what happened, how, what. And discouragement is one of the things that the enemy loves to implement. Division will promote discouragement. Why? It causes conflict, doesn't it? For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son and daughter, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be what? Discouraged when you are rebuked or corrected. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Many people get discouraged when they're corrected. God is not looking at people that are bad. People are not bad. They're deceived. But it's amazing how many times people think, oh, I'm bad because I got corrected. What did I do wrong? It's not what you did wrong. You got deceived. Does everybody get that? Deception is the key. Once we understand deception is the ruler and controller of life in this realm and make it unseen in every area, we have victory. But if you're not willing to, you can't have victory. You'll constantly be controlled. You'll constantly be a roller coaster. You'll constantly look for fulfillment in everything else, and you'll never be fulfilled. Why? Because you can't fulfill your mission being deceived. Is everybody okay? Proverbs 22. Now, when discouragement comes, one of the things that people get, they get anxious. When discouragement comes, they actually get anxious. And then they make decisions in an anxious arena. And you know what that causes? Debt. Proverbs 22. Now, I'm not just talking about financial debt. I'm talking about debt. All kinds. Owing people. Owing favors. Not fulfilling vows. All of these areas. Promises. Making promises is something that you were going to do and didn't do. Proverbs 22:26. Oh, I'm in Psalm. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Is everybody okay? Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is shrewdy for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? In other words, he's talking about, don't make promises you can't fulfill. I hear about a lot. Oh, I'm stepping out in faith. If God didn't tell you that, then you're stepping out in assumption, not faith. And if God did tell you that, it's taken care of. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now again, discouragement will promote debt. Why? Because when a person gets discouraged, they get anxious. first thing we want to do is get out of that circumstance, discouragement. So they look for something. You know, many people run to the store to go shopping. Many people go out. Many people look for the opposite sex. Many people look for whatever. They look to go do something. They look to buy. And even in business, when a person is discouraged, they're always looking for a way out. So they're looking to invest something to make more money. The problem is when you're anxious for it, you can't hear God correctly. One of the things that when a person is discouraged and falls into debt, they become depressed. Proverbs 17. I don't see too many people jumping for joy when they're in debt. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah, man. I owe everybody. Praise God. Amen. People get depressed. There's depression involved. In verse 24. Proverbs, I think it's 17. Looks like it. It must be 12. 12. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Look at anxiety in the heart of a man causes what? Whoa. Why'd they get in debt? Because they were anxious. But a good word makes it glad. Oh, thank God all things work to the good. To those who love him according called according to his will. Amen. That's what we need to do is repent. Forgive me. And cry out for some mercy and grace and cash. Mercy, grace, and cash. That's a whole teaching in itself, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4. No, Hebrews 5. I'm sorry, Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. When people are depressed, it actually brings them to a place where they can't hear. They get deaf. Depression will bring a person to where they don't hear correctly because they're so oppressed. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 6. And he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. I wasn't pretending to be an owl. Who obeyed him, called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become what? Dull of hearing. Let me tell you, depression will bring a person in a state where they can't hear correctly. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and that's called deafness. Another D. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, I think it is, somewhere around there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge you, verse 1. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, as appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out, convince, rebuke, hello, exhort, with what? Long suffering and teaching. Verse 3, read it with me. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have what? Itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what? Fables. In other words, what happens is when that person gets in a place of depression and becomes dull of hearing, one of the things the enemy does is begin to speak in an area and put, because of a flawed belief system, he puts them together. So what are they doing? They're searching for someone that believes the same things they do, even though it's flawed. Does everybody get that? Because of oppression. Look, it all started with deception, didn't it? Deception. It's all this is. It's about deception. And it leads from one thing to another. If we can truly slow down in slow motion everything that's going on in our lives and has gone on in our life, you would see this whole thing play out bit by bit by bit by bit. What happens then? Well, itchy ears. Well, association of people that hear the same. Does anybody get it? Well, let's just create a whole new fable. Forget what's been said. Forget what the truth is. Let's just get around people that believe the same thing. Proverbs 16. Deafness. Deception will bring deafness. Well, where there's deafness, destruction is next. It's just a matter of time. And when a person refuses to hear, it's called pride. And in Proverbs 16, is everybody there? Proverbs 16:18. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Pride goes before what? Destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lonely than to divide the spoil with the proud. Oh, hallelujah. So in this we see that pride goes before destruction. Again, deception led to doubt. Doubt led to delusion. Delusion led to division. Division led to discouragement. Discouragement led to debt. Debt led to depression. Depression led to deafness. Deafness led to destruction. And destruction will lead to death. 2 Peter chapter 3. Why? Doesn't the enemy want to stop every... Now, I'm not talking about just death physically. I'm talking about death to the vision God's given. Death to the will of God. Death to the promises God. Death to every... Death means it's ended. 2 Peter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Are you learning something? 2 Peter 3:14. Let's speak it together. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of the things in which are some things hard to what? Understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Destruction will lead to death. It is the final. Destruction brings death, making an end to the promises, visions, dreams that God has given. In verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we should all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whoa. And in Ephesians chapter 4. So death is the final, the deception factor. Bunch of D's. Ephesians 4. Verse 26, It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Nor what? Nor give place to what? The devil. Believe me, if you give him place to one area, you've given him place to multiple areas. So what he does is get you to focus on the one area while he's still deceiving you in the rest. Make no place for him. It's real simple. Now I want to close at 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, it's a simple way. Don't make place for him. Don't do it until you get counsel, correction, direction, and confirmation. That's what the body is for, isn't it? Of course, you got to be careful because you can get counsel through emotion. James Brown got counsel through emotion. I feel good. Do, 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 do. He did the shuffle too. Praise God. I don't know if you guys all, I forgot what age group I was involved with. Okay. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Can't touch it. Do, do, do. How about that one? Hammer. Do, 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 do. I met Hammer. Anyways, verse 6, would you read it with me, please? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about looking for whom he can deceive. Like a roaring, seeking whom he's going to what? Devour. That's another D. Devour. We got to get that one in there. So, don't make place for the devil from the beginning. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, so you are not moved by deception, but you look for it. You look for it. If you look for it, you're going to see it. Anything that's going on in your life, we should always look for deception. Who's behind it? What's behind it? And when you see it through, then you're going to see the end result. So everybody got this. It's important. Man, we are in a time of things are getting worse. People are being moved left and right by itchy ears and how they feel and all of this other garbage, and not being led by truth. Have false promises. You know, the enemy loves to make promises. You know how many people have sold their soul out for fame and fortune? What good is it to have all the things of the world and still lose your soul? You know, we want to stand before God as a good steward. You know, a steward is someone that takes care of the things of God. And if you can't take care of the things that are in this realm, you think he's going to let you take care of the things that are given from him? No way. So it's important. We are at this time now. There's a tremendous shift. It's happening. Things are falling. There's a rolling. God's unfolding other things. We're entering such a time of deception. It's incredible. Amen? Praise God. Thank you. Father, we are honored and blessed for your word, for your mercies, for your grace, for your forgiveness, and for putting up with us. We thank you. Have mercy upon us. Let your grace abound. And release the cash, please. So, Lord, I just pray blessing on your people. Grant us all the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that is so needed, with eyes to see through, ears to hear through, and a heart to fight through. Fight through the emotions and the deceptions, and get us out of the deception factor, constantly exposing it in every area of our life, so we neither stumble nor cause someone else to stumble, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed and prosperous.